Welcome to my life adventures. I'm the one and only Monica, the Spirit Queen. I'm a professional psychic medium and a paranormal investigator. My crew and I lurk in the shadows at night, hunting spirits and demons. I do readings, break black magic spells, travel, expose fake psychics, and have clients from around the world. I'm no nonsense when it comes to honesty and respect. I have a crazy busy life, but I love it. My family keeps me going with their love and support. I will never give up, no matter what demons I have to face. This podcast is sponsored by Anchor. If you're looking for a great platform to have your own podcast, to listen to what you want, or to invite guests, here are the details on how to do it. Hey guys, welcome to my first episode of the Paranormal Hour on my podcast. This is Monica, of course, the well-known one and only Monica, the Spirit Queen. I am joined by my beautiful daughters, Nicole and Alyssa. Hey guys.
Hey.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Everybody knows who I am. I am a professional psychic medium and I'm also a paranormal investigator. My daughters join in on the investigation sometimes. And if you guys want to see my vlogs, I have a YouTube channel, Monica Spirit Queen. And I want you guys to go there, subscribe, like my video, share it. I do answer a lot of paranormal questions. I do a lot of spirituality work. I'm constantly busy doing investigations. I take on a lot of cases. A lot of clients from around the world contact me. I do a lot of readings. And I'm here to answer some questions that some of you have, or a lot of you actually, have been emailing it to me. You guys have been going on all types of social media, finding me on social media, asking me questions, including on my channel in the community section. So I am going to answer, we picked a handful of questions to answer. I mean, if I were going to answer all the questions, I think we'll be here for like 3-4 hours. But I'm going to answer a handful of questions, and I think with each episode, I'm going to answer a question here and there. So if you guys do have questions for me, you could go to Facebook, Instagram, and even ask me on my channel, and I'd be happy to answer them for you. Alyssa, do you want to do the honors and ask the first question?
I'd love to.
Okay, let's see what you got.
How do you know if you have an attachment, and how many snakes do you own?
Ooh, good one.
16 snakes?
No. 20. Did you lose count of how many snakes we have?
Every single day.
We have 18 snakes. Everybody knows my snake collection. Everybody knows we do a lot of animal and reptile rescue. Some of them we end up keeping because we fall in love with all of them. And then some of them we rehome them to good homes. So to answer that first question, I have about 18 snakes. And how do you know if you have an attachment? There are a couple of ways you can tell if you have an attachment or if somebody else has an attachment. Number one way is the mood change. If your mood starts to change and a lot of confusion happens in your mind, especially like if your personality starts changing, you get angry one minute, then you're happy, then you're sad. When you have a demonic attachment, it's not a good thing. I always recommend contacting me right away so I can get rid of it. And number two, it doesn't just affect you, but it affects everybody else around you. So, paranormal activities start happening around, poltergeist activities start happening because, some attachments can get very violent and they can get physical. So they can hurt you physically. Question number two.
Question number two. Monica the Spirit Queen, I love you, admire your work, and I love your personality. Thanks for being my role model. I have many things to ask you. I used to dream of a war between angels and demons. It cut off.
What cut off?
It cut off.
I told you I should have sent you the other one. All right, next question. We'll go back to that one.
Do you like lizards?
Do I like lizards? I do. I have a couple of different species of lizards. A bearded dragon, leopard geckos, and I actually want to get a crested gecko. Those are a little more delicate to handle, but I've always been fascinated with them. So yes, I do. I love reptiles. I love all kinds of animals, including sharks.
Interesting.
I do. I'm fascinated with sharks. Are you done taking pictures? My daughter is in her little own little private world right now, snapping pictures. For your Instagram, or is it Facebook, or what is that for?
I have no social media.
Okay, next question.
I woke up to a shadow on top of my pelvic area. Waist. Is there any way to protect myself while I'm asleep? It moved very fast and disappeared. It actually covered my vision in my upper left eye.
Okay, read the question again. I got distracted for a second.
I woke up to a shadow on top of my pelvic area, waist. Is there any way to protect myself while I'm asleep? It moved very fast and disappeared. It actually covered my vision in my upper left eye.
Okay, it sounds like a demonic attachment that's trying to possess you while you sleep in bed. So the way to handle that is to contact me or somebody like me that is 100% real and knows what they're doing and can actually physically remove that attachment. Unless that attachment is removed, and if you do have a portal open in your house, you need to get that closed as well, which I do that too. You have to get rid of that attachment in order to be safe while you're sleeping. So it does look like an attachment that was attacking. I'm going to read one of the questions. Are demonic possessions real? What do you guys think? Demonic possessions, do you think they're real?
I mean, if they weren't, your career would be a
lie. I can't hear you.
If they weren't, your career would be a lie.
My career would be a lie if they were not real.
Yeah.
I think they're real.
You think they're real too?
Yes.
Have you guys physically seen anybody possessed?
No.
Yeah, my dad.
Besides dad. We lived in a haunted house. That's a whole different episode. We're going to talk about it.
Are you hearing me live or social media?
Just anywhere. Social media, YouTube, nope. TV, anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really... Some people, you know, overdo the... I feel like some people, like, social media-wise, they don't really, like...
They just add drama.
Yes, they're very extra with what they do. But in real life, I've seen like demonic possessions. I think they're real.
So, I have never seen an authentic possession.
Well, that's because I keep you guys away from that side of my work, like doing a podcast, doing shows, sometimes doing investigations where I know it is a haunted location, but they always go with me. When it's not too dangerous, because I have to protect my kids, of course, as well. They come first. So the question was, are demonic possessions real? They are 100% real. I even done a couple of exorcisms, of course, with the assistance and help of priests in different locations. I travel for this reason. There's many different types of demonic possessions. You don't physically have to be possessed, but they can possess you with your mind, doing mind control. They could possess you by putting things in your mind, thoughts in your mind that are not yours. You're going to start feeling this confusion in your head. Your whole mind feels like it's clouded. I mean, there's so many different ways of labeling demonic possessions. But yes, demonic possessions are 100% real. Next question.
Hi, Monica. Could you tell us more about astral projection? Is it dangerous? Best wishes to you and your family, Stuart.
Well, thank you. I will stay as I am. I kick ass. I rock. So, is there such thing as astral projection, or how does it work? Was that the question?
Can you tell us more about it?
Oh, more about it. Okay. I'll give you guys a little details. It is very dangerous. Astral projection is very dangerous. What astral projection is, a lot of people confuse it with astral projection from mind traveling. Astral projection, your spirit physically comes out of your body and you're able to travel into the spiritual realm. The danger part is there's always a war between good and evil in the spiritual realm, just like it is here in our physical realm, but even more so in the spiritual realm, because you don't go to jail if you kill somebody there. So there's constant war between good and evil. And if you are traveling at that moment and run into a demonic entity, you can very much get hurt and or killed. If you get hurt in the spiritual realm, when you come back into your body will physically feel everything. You will get the marks, you will get the bruises, you will get the cuts, you will feel the pain. And another reason why it's dangerous is because what a lot of people don't understand, and they think this is fun and games, it's not. We have a window period of how long we can travel outside of our bodies before that portal closes. So before traveling, we have to open up a portal. We push ourselves through the portal to the spiritual realm. We do have a window period for us to come back on time. Otherwise, if that portal closes, we will get stuck in the spiritual realm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Hope I'm speaking clearly. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to answer a couple more questions. And we'll see you guys in a minute. And we are back. In case you guys are wondering how I am so awesome and a pro on my podcast, is many of you guys might remember me having a radio show called The Paranormal Hour. And it was nothing but talks about the paranormal like we're doing right now. I had special celebrity guests. I had a lot of paranormal investigators as my guests, including a radio personality who I ended up doing a surprise reading on. Well, actually, they surprised me and I did a reading, which shocked her too. But yeah, I miss my radio show, girls. I want to go back to them soon, hopefully. Right?
Yeah, after this is over.
Yeah, that's true. But in the meantime, I am actually getting the hang of this podcast and I like it. What do you guys think? It's pretty
fun.
I like
it, yeah.
And the comfort of your own home and, you know, talk about anything and everything. Of course, that's all I ever talk about with people are paranormal and spirituality. But that's my job and that's what I do. 24 hours, 7 days a week. Except on weekends. Never mind. I don't work on weekends anymore. Okay, let's start with another question. I'm going to have my other daughter read it real quick.
Is karma a thing from past lives?
Is karma a thing from past lives? Absolutely not. To be honest with you guys, I don't believe in past lives. Again, that might be another episode I'm going to do on it and explain in the details more why I don't believe it. But to me, I believe that we are born on this planet one time, and this is a tester for us to determine what eternity and the other life is going to be. If we're going to go up or if we're going to go down. You guys know what I'm talking about. When people talk about past lives, I think it's really funny because I'm always thinking, and I've had people tell me this too. In my past life, I was on the Titanic. In my past life, I was a snake, you know, or they talk about what am I going to be in the next life? I want to come back as this. No, it's not up to you to choose what you're going to be when you come back. You're either going to be an angel or a demon. So, no, there is no such thing as past life. And let's move on. I mean, anytime someone talks about past lives, like it just, I could go on and on and on and just pin their butts down with it. It's funny.
What do you do when you have attachments?
Contact me. You need somebody. No, I'm serious. I'm not here advertising myself, but this is reality. This is the, you know, you can't contact a skeptic, obviously, to come and help you. And number two, you can't contact somebody that has zero experience in this stuff. Otherwise, they'll end up getting hurt or possibly an attachment themselves. Attachments need to be physically gone. That means either an exorcism needs to happen or somebody has to physically go in there, or like me when I do astral projection and I get rid of the attachments. But you cannot get rid of the attachments yourself unless you know what you're doing. And make sure always to check and see if you have any portals open in your house. And if you do, those portals need to be closed if you don't want to have additional attachments besides the ones you already do. What's so funny?
Nothing.
You're making me laugh, and I have no idea what I'm laughing at. What is so funny?
Nothing.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Next.
Does cleansing help get rid of attachments?
No. it actually pisses them off even more. It antagonizes them even more. When you're doing cleansing, when you're doing sage, incense, candles, all you're doing is giving them more energy and antagonizing them even more. So you are putting yourself in a more dangerous situation. You cannot just cleanse and expect an attachment to go away. And I'm glad that question was asked, because I do get a lot of clients, especially more and more now, where they're telling me that they have gone to this so-called psychic medium or witch doctor or healer or whatever the crap they want to call themselves. And they are telling me that, number one, they're paying these people, but yet these so-called fake psychics out there are telling my clients that come to me after they go to them what to do and how to do it. No, if you're getting paid, then you do the work, number one. And number two, what was the question again? I literally just, spaced out.
Spaced out. Does cleansing help get rid of attachments?
That's what I figured. Oh, my God. I am so tired tonight. Oh, my gosh. My brain is like a mashed potato. And number two, you know, when you go to somebody and they tell you to cleanse yourself or they start cleansing yourself, right away, you need to take your money and run the opposite direction, because that's not how it works. When you're cleansing, all you're doing is just energizing and antagonizing that attachment. So if you want a very good cleansing job done, you got to make sure that you don't have any attachments, and you have to make sure there's no black magic spells on you. And once you're free and clear from those, then the cleansing will 100% work. Do you have any questions, dear?
I do.
Paranormal stuff?
No.
What?
Are you recording?
Yes.
A bunch of cops that are outside right now, and they surrounded a car.
Oh, wow.
My mom was doing
that's funny.
Give
wow, me that's exciting. That's something.
Hurry up.
But then what's new? Living in Vegas, what's new? There's always some kind of drama around here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, next question.
How would you know if you were a psychic or a medium?
Ooh, I get that.
Can you tell us what the difference is?
Yes, I'm going to tell you what the difference is.
That's the
absolutely.
Next question.
That's the next question. I can just answer both of them together now. So let's go with, how do you know the difference if you're psychic or a medium? And your question was what?
Yeah, what's the...
What is the difference?
No, what is a psychic medium and what is... what is a psychic?
What's the difference between them?
No, what is a psychic and what is a medium?
Okay. Well, psychic stuff, like when I do psychic reading... That's why I have it on my website, where I separate my psychic readings from the medium readings. Psychic has to... Please don't do that. It's
yeah,
so
not
annoying.
Me. Could you... can you move, please?
Technology these days are so annoying.
Seriously.
That's why I have my girls helping me with the electronics all the time. But anyways, so what the difference is between a psychic and a medium... A psychic is when you're doing a psychic reading... It means you are reading about the physical, about that person that has to do with the physical stuff, like our physical realm. Whether it's their future, their money, their relationship, you know, anything that has to do with that person. Mediumship, doing a medium reading, is spiritual. So you're able to connect, if you're real. Don't listen to the tarot card bullshit. But if you're able to do a real reading by connecting to that person's energy, you are able to connect with their loved ones that crossed over. You can pull them through. You can relate messages like I do all the time. You can sense and feel spirits. A lot of times you can hear them and see them. So anything that has to do with the spiritual side is mediumship. And anything that has to do with our physical realm is the psychic part. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Next question?
Next question.
Next question. Do you do tarot card readings?
Absolutely freaking not.
Why not?
Because yeah. It's fake, and I always compare tarot card readings to doing the same thing as a Ouija board. What you're doing anytime you use materialistic stuff to conjure up entities, you don't get anything good at. You can't pull a good spirit through a Ouija board. It's always demonic entities. The same thing with cardboard paper. Number one, why would you want to rely your important life questions that could possibly change your life, either towards good or better, worse, rely on cardboard paper? That does not make sense. And number two, all you're doing is opening up a portal and inviting a demonic entity to come through. Now, you're not the one that's going to do the reading. The demonic entity is going to do a reading. Just like I could do a reading from head to toe with a blink of an eye with on people, these entities could do a reading as well. And then they could tell the fake psychics a little bit about yourself here and there. But a lot of times, they're wrong. If you guys go back and watch my video where I exposed... I expose fake psychics all the time, but I decided to post this on my channel, which I'm going to end up doing more eventually. She was completely way off. You cannot trust tarot card readers. One quick example, I went there and I asked her if I'm going to have any kids. I was pretending that I'm married and I just recently got married and I want to have kids. Now, let me remind you guys, I have 3 kids. But this bimbo that was doing the reading and I was recording, she told me I was not going to be able to have kids. And if I was, it won't be for the next 2-3 years. And I was only going to be able to have 1 child because I was going to end up having health issues, which doesn't make any sense because I already have 3 kids. So there's a huge difference between a tarot card reader and then me coming in and actually doing a real reading where I can connect to your energy. And through your energy, I can actually connect to anybody else I want that has that's related to you, that is friends with you, that associates with you, that has any kind of energy connection with you. I'm able to pick up on those people as well. So that's a huge difference between the fake ones that do the tarot cards, and then me, of course. But we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere, because I do have some special announcements coming soon. Hang on. Okay, this is a very interesting topic, sleep paralysis. For those who don't know what sleep paralysis is, you are getting basically attacked by a demonic entity in bed, whether you're asleep or you're awake or you're in the process of sleeping or you're in the process of waking up. Demonic attachments come from either somebody conjuring up and opening up a portal, or you can have attachments if you're in a location that is haunted. Very much so that these entities can follow you home. Some of them are very perverted. Some of them are not. But what was the question that they asked?
Is sleep paralysis demonic related?
Yes, sleep paralysis is demonic related. You can never have a good entity coming to you and attacking you. A good spirit. Angels don't even do that. Of course, everybody knows demons have an agenda on Earth. They're here to cause havoc and pain, suffering, damaging you, even health-wise. It could affect your health. When you have sleep paralysis, basically, they pin you down. You cannot scream. You can see what's going on. Sometimes you can see the entity that's attacking you. Sometimes you can feel them. Sometimes you can hear them. Sometimes you can even smell them. And they smell like crap. They stink. It smells like worse than death, I think. Demonic attachments. These entities that are giving you the sleep paralysis.
So they smell like
dead bodies?
They smell like death. Yeah, it's just disgusting. You know, when you go and sometimes you can even smell it in a cemetery, especially if it's like a freshly dug up grave and whatever. I mean, it's crazy. You guys remember that cemetery? We did an episode in a cemetery where we found like all the dead chickens and dead birds and things like that because people were doing black magic rituals. There's actually a witch over there that attacks me every time I go, a spirit of a witch. Oh my gosh, you guys have to go back to my channel and watch that. In fact, we did a live investigation over there and it smelled like death everywhere. It was so disgusting. So if you smell anything bad and gross, disgusting, and you can't see anything around you, most likely you're getting attacked by an attachment or have a demonic entity next to you, basically waving around and just waiting to attack you. Isn't that crazy, though, how this paranormal works? And there goes Mocha with something in her mouth going under the bed. Our dog opens our door. I don't even know how. I swear. She can open it and she can close it. And then when she wants something, she makes herself, her presence known, right? Like, she will, like, just come and attack us. Like, not attack us like that. She's really sweet, but, like, attack us with her love. You know, jumping on us, giving us love and kisses and hugs and stuff. But when she wants to do something sneaky, she slowly opens the door and then slowly walks under the bed with something in her mouth. Any other questions? I don't think I'm going to answer any more questions at the moment because we did cover a lot of the topics. I want to save some for the other episodes. So if you guys have any questions for me, like I said, go to my channel, Monica Spirit Queen, on YouTube, and you can leave your questions there. I know there's tons of questions that a lot of people have when it comes to the paranormal. A lot of people are asking me too, how involved are your kids when it comes to the paranormal stuff, and are they afraid? To be honest with you guys, are you guys afraid of it?
No.
They're used to it. My kids, since they were in diapers, day one they were born, they've experienced, they've seen, they've heard, you name it. My kids have been surrounded by the paranormal from day one. Of course, thanks to me, their psychic medium mother that always has one foot here in our realm and one foot in the spiritual realm. But, you know, when it comes to spirituality, it doesn't matter if you're a skeptic or not. A lot of skeptics, I'm very well known to turn a lot of skeptics into believers with the readings I do on them. And then they'll look at me with their jaws dropped and they'll ask me, what planet am I from? Where did I come from? And how do I know? Jupiter? I was going to say
Mars.
Pluto.
I like Pluto. Mars? Pluto. I like Mars too. But Mars is too close. If I was going to go to another planet, it would be like far. Or Venus. I like Venus too.
Saturn.
Saturn's pretty good.
I should
have
put a ring on it.
But yeah, it doesn't matter if you're a skeptic or not. Just because you're a skeptic and you don't believe it, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have attachments. It doesn't mean that you can't get, you know, somebody can't put a spell on you. It doesn't mean you can't spiritually get attacked. It doesn't mean, and it's not always bad. I mean, spirituality has its ups and downs. My advice is, if you don't know what the hell you're doing, don't dabble with it. Because you're going to end up coming to me and I have to fix it. Which I don't have a problem doing so, but I've noticed like a lot of people have been doing that. You know, contacting me and telling me they did things that they had no idea what they were doing. And then they come to me to fix the problem. But why, when you can avoid all that and just not dabble with it? But I also know that curiosity kicks in. You know, they have Ouija boards, which I'm against as well. Tarot cards. They have, those metal rods. They have all these devices. I mean, I have all the devices too. But if you guys notice in my videos, I don't want to use all those devices. I am the main device I use to investigate, to capture these entities. And of course, we have cameras rolling all the time, so we can capture the spiritual activities and we can capture all these cool paranormal or poltergeist activities that happen. And, you know, it's really cool. You guys have any questions for Mom?
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
What is it? When it comes to spirituality. Oh, and in case you guys were wondering if I ever get scared, no, I don't. I did in the beginning, but I'm so used to spirits, good and bad. To me, it's like a normal everyday thing. I mean, I see spirits everywhere I go.
So, I don't, I mean, I guess it kind of answers, like, how you went over, like, I just want to know different ways, like, safer ways you could contact the spiritual realm.
Oh, that's a really good question. The safest way to contact the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
Through me. Mm-hmm. No, well, you can light up a candle. I mean, that's what seances are for. I mean, I do a lot of seances, too, so if you guys want it done, you can let me know. But if you want to communicate with the spiritual realm, number one, you need to ground yourself. Number two, you need to block yourself to make sure you don't get hurt and you don't get busted, basically, and get caught by a demonic entity. Number three, you have to meditate and clear your mind completely from everything. And then once you do that, you can light a candle. It doesn't have to be, you know, 6, 7, 10, 30 candles around you. You can light one candle, especially if you're just contacting one spirit. Practice makes perfect. A lot of times it doesn't happen the first time. You guys, you know, sometimes people catch on to it right away and sometimes they don't. And it also depends of how open your spiritual doors are. If you're not a spiritual person and your spiritual doors are not all the way open, it's going to take time. Meditation is the main key. You can light a candle. You can light an incense. There are specific incense you guys can use to conjure up these spirits, or call upon these spirits. And you respectfully call upon your loved ones or whoever you want to communicate with. But I don't suggest you conjuring up dark demonic entities. It doesn't work very well at the end for anybody. But it does take a lot of patience. It does take a lot of practice. It does take a lot of time. How would you know if you were successful? Well, you would know because, again, sometimes you can hear them. Sometimes you'll see them. Sometimes you can even smell their fragrance, you know, their cologne or their perfume that they used to wear. Aura too. Absolutely. You could see their aura. You could see their spirit. Even orbs. You know, Dad saw his grandmother's orb when he was young. And my husband explained this. When he was young, it was shortly after his grandmother passed away. And he didn't even know that she had already crossed over. He found out after he saw his grandmother's orb. He said it was like a big purple ball in a corner of the wall, like on the ceiling. And him and his brother were at home and they were both frozen with just being terrified because they were young, they were kids, and they had no idea what was glowing in a corner on the ceiling. He said it was there for a good couple of seconds and then it went away. And then shortly after that, he found out that his grandmother had just crossed over. So before loved ones would do this too a lot of times. When they cross over, sometimes they won't cross over to the other side in the spiritual realm to you know, go to the light or wherever they're supposed to go. There's earthbound spirits, and sometimes they'll travel around. They'll say their goodbyes to their loved ones, and then they'll be ready to cross over and go up to where they're supposed to. But we're going to take another short break, and we'll be right back with more Paranormal Hour. I am joined by my husband right now. Both of us together have a lot of crazy experiences. I'm going to save those really crazy, spooky, creepy stories for another episode. But my husband has also experienced some paranormal stuff as a child when he was growing up. And I wanted him to talk a little bit more about the orb he saw in his own words. I mean, I kind of summed it up a little bit for you guys, but I want my husband to tell you guys a little bit more about what he saw in his experiences before he met me. So everybody, welcome my hubby, Donnie.
Hello.
Hello.
Basically, I was young. I don't know, maybe 9 or 10 years old. And my grandma had died in the house that my mom owned. And, well, it was left to my mom. And we moved into it after she had died. And I remember laying on a couch in our living room, and me and my brother were home. And I looked up, and in the corner of our living room, there was this round orb, probably the size of a paper plate. And it was like this purple, see-through, neon seats. It was just amazing. But I remember it scared me. Like, it, I had like this fear run through me, because obviously I didn't know what it was as a kid. And it stayed there for a minute. It kind of floated a little bit. And then I looked at my brother to ask him if he was seeing the same thing I was seeing. And by the time I looked back, it was gone. But I'll never forget that. That's what first got me involved in wanting to know more things about the other realm.
Like, how long did it last?
Oh, man, it's been many years. But thinking back, at the time it lasted, it seemed like for a long time. But honestly, probably 30 seconds, maybe a minute, tops.
And it played the disappearing act?
Yeah, I didn't even see it, like, if it dissipated or just disappeared. I looked down at my brother to talk to him, to tell him, hey, are you seeing this? And when I looked back up, it was gone.
Lovely. Spirits can be very tricky, too. And at that time, you didn't know that she crossed over, right? Like, you found out afterwards and then put two and two together and it was your grandmother?
No, she had already passed and we lived in that house. I just didn't, I never knew. Oops. She had died in that bathroom. The living room, the living room hallway, she had died in that bathroom. And the couch was right, like, on the other side of the couch where I was laying was the bathroom where she died at.
Okay, I feel like I'm going to get a lot of comments on that now. I goofed. I was under the impression that you guys didn't know she died.
No.
I should start paying attention more to your stories.
That's the story my mom, I bet you're telling a different story. My mom, we knew when my grandma died, but my mom woke up that morning and said, I had a dream that grandma died and that she came to visit me to tell me that she died. And as my mom was telling us this story about her dream that morning, the phone rang and it was her brother Craig telling her that grandma had died.
Okay, so I got the two stories mixed up and just blended in with the first story.
Then we went and moved into that house. That's the house we grew up in.
Like, was it creepy knowing that, regardless if it was your grandmother or not, like, just somebody that died in that house and then you guys moved in? Or, like, you were so used to it, you didn't care?
I didn't. Now, looking back, being older, like, all the shit that happened and all the stuff that happened, it was spooky. I chalked it up to different things because when you're a kid, you don't really put two and two together. But going back now and thinking about some of the shit that's happened in that house, yeah, that was crazy. That house burnt to the ground. Like, that whole situation, that whole house.
Oh, yeah, that was the house that did burn to the ground. I didn't even think about that.
Another story for another time, but yep, that's the house that burnt to the ground, so.
Yeah, that's another story of mischievous kids. I'm not going to say anymore. I mean, seeing an orb when you're, how old were you?
I was probably 9, 8 or 9, 10 being tops. I've never seen that color purple again in my life, that shade of purple, pink. It was like, it was between like a purple and a pink, but the color was like a neon, almost like see-through. It's so hard to explain, man, but. Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful color. I don't think I'll ever see that color. I know I've never seen it, you know, since then.
Well, you do know that colors in the spiritual realm are a lot vibrant.
Well, this was vibrant. You would say that. Very much vibrant. That was the word I was searching for, vibrant. It was very vibrant, the color.
Yeah, it's more vibrant and different than the colors we see here in the physical realm. So in a way, spirits are kind of lucky. They see, like, all kinds of new shit over there. Like, cool stuff.
Yep, they do.
That a lot of us can't see. Or it's not made for humans to see until we cross over. Just like it's not meant for us to know everything about the spiritual side until we cross over.
Right.
But I think it's a really cool experience. If you guys have any really awesome experiences spiritually, paranormal, even poltergeist activities or possessions or anything like that, let me know. I would like to know that.
What about the first apartment we ever had together?
Oh my gosh, that was so crazy. We had just gotten married And we were so excited because we got our first apartment. It was so beautiful, too. It was huge.
Big, yeah.
It was big.
And it was just me and you at the time. We had no kids. So we had one bedroom that was obviously mine, yours, and we made that other one into an office, remember?
Yeah, we had two bedrooms. It had a fireplace. Yeah. It had a balcony. It was on the second floor. It had a balcony. Mm-hmm. It was just so awesome. And, you know, being a newlywed, even for me, being who I am on the spiritual side, I wasn't paying too much attention. I was just excited. We had just gotten married, gotten our first place together. You know, everything changed. Everything was brand new. Everything was so exciting for us. So I didn't really care to move into that place and then check to see if it was haunted or not. You know, that was like really the last thing on my mind. Yeah. We didn't have time.
And back then, we weren't really doing that. We weren't really focusing our energy on that or even paying attention to the surroundings of what was going on, you know?
Yeah, that was like my part-time job on the side at the time. We were both working. I was working for an attorney for a while in a whole different city where I had to take the train to save money on the gas.
Oh, that's another story. Do you remember that day? What happened? Do you remember that?
Vaguely. Like, I kind of do. And
there was a train.
Oh, you guys have to hear this.
There was a train wreck in Glendale. Okay, so we lived an hour away from Glendale at the time. And you used to have to get up every morning, remember?
Yeah.
The alarm would go off at 5. You'd have to be at the station by 5:30. So I'd walk you to the train station every morning. And that morning, for some reason, now I know why. But
our alarm
then
didn't
go
off.
The alarm didn't go off, but our electricity didn't go off. Nothing went off, and we couldn't figure it out. And you woke up, and you were mad, like, you must have hit the snooze button. Da, da, da. You
know, yeah, because I was late for work.
And so we ran down. It was like 7 o'clock, way like 2 hours late. So we ran down to the train station. We get there, and there's no trains coming in. It's all shut down. So we're like, what's going on, you know? And then the train master guy goes, oh, there was a train crash from the train that left here this morning at 5:30. It crashed one stop before Glendale in Burbank. And so we're like, what? So we got home and remember we went on the news and checked it out.
And it was a big crash,
too. And it was a big crash. People died on that train. But it was the train you were supposed to take that morning at 5:30 in the morning. And for some reason, we missed it. But that's the same house that happened to, where all the cupboard doors would open, remember we'd leave the house, we'd come back, and every hot water faucet. We had two bedrooms.
Don't jump ahead of the story.
But I'm just saying that's the same, yeah. The same apartment.
And then the Christmas tree where we thought,
So looking back,
we
now,
thought somebody was messing with the Christmas tree physically, and then we would get up in the middle of the night, like, you know how the tree was rattling, yeah, and the toys were rattling on it. And then we'd get up in the middle of the night to investigate, thinking, holy shit, someone broke. The cat was in it, or someone broke into the house, and nothing.
But that's the same house all the hot water would be turned on. We'd leave our house, remember, and we'd come back like an hour later, wherever we went to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And when we come back in the house, every faucet in the house would be turned on, and only the hot water, remember?
And yes.
And the dog got disappeared from that house.
Stick around, you guys, for a quick break. When we come back, you guys are going to hear all about the hot water, and something ended up disappearing from our house that was very valuable to us. Stick around. We'll be right back. We are back. Okay. So, like I said, we are going to reveal a couple of things, the creepy things, crazy things that happened in that apartment of ours, the lovely apartment. Before we went on a break, I talked about what disappeared, or not what disappeared, but a valuable, something really valuable to us and important to us, and how it disappeared and what happened, especially with the hot water and everything going on. So, when we were living there, we ended up getting a little tiny puppy, a little chihuahua. It was gray, right? Gray and white. It was a cute little gray and white.
Brown and white.
Was it brown?
Tan, yep.
Tan?
Yep.
Serious?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
It's been a long time, but yeah.
It has been a long time. We have been together for many, 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 many years.
17 years.
17 years. That's a long time. But you know what? I think we're very blessed. So when it comes to the paranormal, poltergeist activity, spiritual activity, demonic attacks and hauntings,
we've seen it.
Attachments, we've seen it. Possessions, you name it, we've gone through it. We've gone through so much when it came to the spiritual side. But, you know, my husband's spiritual as well, so he does understand my work and he does support me a lot. And I appreciate that, hubby. Thank you.
No problem. We were talking about the water coming on, remember? Every time.
Yeah.
It happened at least 8, 9, 10 times, at least, that I can remember.
And then the ceiling fan going on in the middle of the night in the dining room.
Yep.
Right by the kitchen. It was crazy. So going back to the puppy. So we got this tiny little puppy, couple weeks old. Really cute. And I do remember it was a boy, though. The color might be a little off in my head, but it was a little boy. He was so cute.
And we lived in a condo in the second floor, the second story.
Right. We ended up... So
you got to set this mood so they can figure out why this, how it disappeared and, you know, out of nowhere. So you imagine we're on the second floor of a condo.
Okay. Speaking of setting the mood, I think I need all you guys to turn off all your lights, light a candle or two. You guys need to hear the story under a dark candlelight. Right? Sure. I think so.
I got a candle on.
He does. We always have candles on, though. Candles and incense. Must have all the time. But, so we got this cute little puppy. And my husband had trained it where every morning, even before I would wake up early in the morning, my husband would get up to feed the dog. And every time the puppy would hear the food bowl with his food going in, he would run out and go towards him and, you know, get all excited to eat. But, and he would always sleep on our bed. A lot of time it was like in between us or in between our heads, like our pillow.
Or on our back.
Yeah. It was very clingy, but
he was tiny though. He was a toy, remember? So
yeah, he was like a toy chihuahua, really small.
Literally a toy.
Like 2 pounds.
Yeah. Not even that.
2, 3 pounds, maybe, if that. Really small. But, so, yeah, we were sleeping one night and, you know, we're not the type of people to like to leave our doors and windows unlocked or open while we sleep.
We check every night before bed. We lock our doors. We make sure that the porch light's on, the doors are locked, security cameras are on, all that good stuff.
The alarm, everything.
We didn't have security cameras then, but
no, or an alarm. We do now. Our alarm and security cameras are always on and rolling and recording.
But that was our routine then, too. We still did the same things, just minus a few, you know.
Yeah.
Made sure the windows were shut, made sure, you know, doors were locked, sliding glass door was locked, all that good stuff.
So we end up going to sleep one night, and in the morning we wake up, and, you know, same old routine. My husband wakes up and, you know, pours the food in a food bowl. There's a dog. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So then I hear him calling our dog, and I was like, why are you calling our dog? Like, he automatically goes there, like an alarm clock. But then that kind of, like, woke me up. And now I'm looking around the house with my husband for this dog.
You thought I was messing around with you or something at first. Like, what'd you do with my dog?
I was so mad. Yeah. I thought he had something to do with it. But again, you know, I wasn't thinking about the paranormal at the time.
Right.
I was so busy. And let me tell you guys, those who take a train to and from work know it's exhausting, no matter what. I used to fall asleep on my way to work because it was like I had to get up like at 5 a.m. Sometimes 4:45, 4:30, because I had to be at the train station at 5:30, and it was just so exhausting. And then by the time at the end of the day, when I got back on the train, I had to set an alarm or something on my phone because I wanted to make sure that I actually woke up in time and not miss my stop. But, you know, I was really exhausted and tired, and I didn't have time for games or anything like that. So I was actually pretty upset, and I said, and I was blaming my husband for a minute because I said, what did you do? Because I'm not in the mood. I got to get ready. I was just, you know those days. Sometimes we have those mornings, and I'm not a morning person at all, especially when I have to work all night. So we ended up searching, you know, everywhere, every room, under the table, under the couches, in the kitchen. We were searching inside the drawers, inside cabinets. I mean, it was, you know, the closet, everything. My puppy was, our puppy was nowhere to be found. So, and our door was locked from the inside. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go out and search for him. I mean, there was second floor. I mean, the way that the stairs were kind of far apart, there was no way in hell that my puppy could actually go down those stairs without falling through those holes, those cracks. So I said, I'm not, you know, I'm just going to go and check, whatever. So my husband and I locked up the doors. Of course, we had the key and everything. Turned off all the lights, locked up the doors, and walked out. So we were out there for maybe a good half hour, just asking people if they've seen my puppy, calling his name, looking for him, nothing. And our apartment complex where we lived at that time was big. It was really big. It had a lot of units. It had a big courtyard. I mean, the dog could have been anywhere. So I said, okay, I was really exhausted. And I said, let's take a little bit of a break. But I was very determined to find my puppy. So we go back home, open the door, and we're hearing water sounds. All the lights in our house is turned on. Remember, I told you guys about the ceiling fan in the dining room next to the kitchen. That ceiling fan was going. And we're hearing water sounds. Every single hot water, not even cold, hot water, steaming hot water, was turned on in the kitchen and every bathroom, including the showers. We had two bathrooms, two full bathrooms with showers, and then the kitchen water was running, the bathroom sinks. It was crazy. It was insane. And I said, okay, well, you know, at first it didn't really dawn on me. Nor did we really give a shit too much about it because we were just concentrating on our puppy. So we rested for a few minutes and I said, okay, well, we got to go again. And this was in winter. Remember, it was snowing too, huh?
It did.
It was cold.
It was cold, yeah. It snowed just a little bit and it stuck on the ground for a day or two, but yeah.
It was really cold.
It was colder than crap.
And I don't like the cold at all. Mm-mm. But
no, you had to keep taking breaks, remember?
Yeah, I did. I would freeze my little butt off and then run upstairs, warm
there's
up.
There's no
and
way
then,
it could have got out.
No, there's no way. And the stairs, he was so small, he wouldn't even be able to go down
fell.
The stairs. Exactly.
Like, we would have heard it. But plus, the door was locked.
There's yeah, no the way. Door was locked from the inside.
Yeah.
And the deadbolt and everything. So, we go back out. The first time was about half an hour. How long was it? Like about an hour?
An hour or so. I don't know.
And we stayed near the complex, too.
Talked to everyone that you saw, remember?
Yeah, it was crazy. So I was like, you know, by that time, like, I was crying. I was depressed. I was upset. I didn't know what the hell. I was hoping, like, okay, the second time we go home, my dog is just mysteriously going to reappear or something. I didn't know. So we go the second time. We go home. And, again, all the lights are turned on. The ceiling fan's going in the dining room. Every sink in the bathroom, the kitchen, and both showers were turned on. Hot water. The second time was very, very steamy in the bathrooms because we were out a little bit longer. So that gave enough time for the hot water to steam up the whole bathroom. And that's when it dawned on me that something took our puppy and it was not human. It was not living here in our physical realm. Remember how mad I got? I started screaming and yelling and cussing. At one point, my husband told me to calm down and not scream so loud in case the neighbors thought we were fighting. And yeah. No, I was having a battle with the demonic entities.
Remember, we moved the next month.
We did. We moved the next
month. We broke our lease.
Yeah, we broke our lease and we moved the next month. I just couldn't do it anymore. Nor did I give a shit to close any portals or anything. I mean, you know, people ask me all the time, can they take things physically from our realm and pull it through into the spiritual realm? Absolutely, they can. That's what they did. If the object is small enough, or if they have enough energy, they can take objects from our realm and pull it through into the spiritual realm. And they did what?
I'm saying there's no other explanation. There's no scenario. Like, it didn't get under anything that we couldn't find. I mean, we searched everywhere. There was no dog in that apartment.
No. And it was ridiculous. I was so mad. And we were getting ready to, like...
And our cat was there, remember?
Yeah, we had a cat.
Two. We had Trouble, and we had Mikey, the kitty.
Yeah, we got Trouble, who was almost a year old. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we got a little kitty that was only a couple months old. He was black with blue eyes. He was just so beautiful. And then our other cat, Trouble, was orange tabby.
But that's where Trouble went crazy, remember? Our cat was a very nice, cool cat, but at that house, he ended up going crazy.
Oh, he was possessed.
He would go all the way, he would walk past us all the way down the long hallway, then he'd crouch on the floor and shake his tail, his ass, and make these weird, like, cat, 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 cat sounds, and then he would just launch at you as fast as he could, and just really, just, you know, set his claws into you and bite you and take his back legs. He'd lock with his front legs on you and take his back legs and scratch the shit out of you. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we got a lot of scratches and markings and bleeding in that house from that cat. He was so mellow. He was actually...
I never thought about that till right now.
Yeah, we adopted him from the animal shelter.
Yeah. They were going to kill him that day. Remember, they told us no, we couldn't take him.
Yeah, he was only a tiny kitten. They were going to put him down because they didn't have room for him anymore.
They had an orange sticker on it. And then I asked the lady, what about this cat? And she said, oh, yeah, he's sick and they're going to put him to sleep. And then I go, well, why can't you just, we give him a medicine? She said, oh, the medicine's expensive that, you know, that they have to give him. So I said, talk to the pharmacist and see, I mean, the vet and see medicine. If we buy it from you guys right now, can we take him home? Can we buy him? And so then the guy came back out and said, yeah, if you'll buy it from us right now and we know that you're buying it, then, you know, we'll let you adopt that cat. So we did, remember? And you had to give him that medicine and that dropper for a long time. But
And cat, he was so sweet. He would sleep with us all the time.
Awesomest cat in the world. And then
he was the best cat. Crazy. He was the sweetest. He thought it was a dog. Just like our cat now thinks that he's a dog. Well, I don't.
What happened to Trouble?
I don't blame them. I think just, okay, when we moved from that place, and then we had to move again, where we moved to Vegas.
Oh, yeah, now I remember, yeah. That
didn't an old lady take, yeah, this old cat lady, she had a lot of cats, and we had no choice but to give the cat away. Plus, I got pregnant, and during my pregnancy, I couldn't stand being around cat litter. Even though I still can't stand being around it right now, but it was worse when I was pregnant. I can stand being around, and it would make me really sick. So I'd rather have my cat go to a good home than, you know, take him back to the shelter. I don't believe in taking animals to the shelter.
You know, I never realized that's why you went crazy until right now, just talking about it. And I got, you know, we've always...
It makes sense now. That,
yeah, now it makes sense. No, it's crazy thinking about it.
It is, I mean... Going from a super sweet cat that would be so happy when I'd come home from work. See, this is another weird thing about this cat. I would go home from work and I would pet him first because he'd always greet me by the door.
Yeah, that cat was like a dog. It almost, it knew the sound of your car. Like, it was weird. Like, as soon as you, 2 minutes before you were coming to pull in the driveway, I knew you were pulling in the driveway because I'd go sit in the window.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then it went from greeting me by the door to me coming home, opening the door, and he was standing in the dark hallway, like in the middle of the dark hallway, just peeking through. And, so anytime I would greet my husband first, he would run to one end of the hallway waiting for me because I had to go to my room, right, to put my stuff away. So he knew that the minute I turned that corner to go to my room and walk down that hallway, he would be waiting for me there. It was crazy. He would go scoot all the way back to the end of the wall on the other side of the hallway. As soon as I would turn the corner to walk to my room, he would scoot his butt back, shake his little butt,
and attack you.
And attack. I mean, he would launch high and far. I mean, this, he thought it was a jaguar or something. I mean, this cat, it was crazy. And he would just latch on either to my shoulder, to my side, my back, my chest. A lot of times he liked to latch on to my hip and mm-hmm. my butt. Like, and he wouldn't just latch on with his claws. He would bite me. He would mm-hmm. sink his teeth in my skin.
And then kick the back legs.
Really and then hard. Kick the back leg. It was, yeah. I've never experienced anything like that. And I've had animals growing up. My husband had animals growing up. We have animals together. But I've never experienced anything like that with a cat. And now looking back at it, he was possessed.
Yeah.
That apartment sure. drove everybody crazy. And they stole, the demonic entity stole my puppy. It's a story that I've mentioned before.
The cat probably seen it happen.
In different interviews I had, huh?
The cat probably happened to the dog, you know what I mean? That's why he did that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the cat, because animals can sense it. Animals could see a lot quicker than humans can. But it was just insane.
Yes, it was.
Well, that's it for this first episode. Let me know what you guys think. I hope you guys like it. Be sure to tune in. I'm going to start posting the hours and the dates of my podcast, which I'm going to be doing regularly. And I will have special guests, and there's going to be giveaway prizes and gifts. So make sure you listen in to every single one of my episodes. Plus, you can also win a chance to be on an episode with me on my podcast. Be sure to go to MonicaSpiritQueen.com, my website. If you guys want a reading, if you think you have a haunting or some kind of a black magic spell on you, and you need my help to break it, to get rid of the attachments, whatever paranormal things that we talked about tonight on this episode, any of those happening to you, including the sleep paralysis, attachments, let me know. Or if you just simply want to contact a loved one that crossed over to relate a message to them, to, you know, say, I love you, I miss you, whatever the case is, I'd be happy to do that as well. Like I said, don't forget to go to MonicaSpiritQueen.com, and please be sure to leave a phone number. Without a phone number, I don't do email chats and I don't waste my time on it. So make sure you have a phone number. Don't write me a book, just a quick one or two sentences of what it is you want me to contact you for. And please be patient, because my emails do get flooded at times, a lot of times. So it does take, you know, maybe a couple of days or a week or two for me to contact you back. Don't send me multiple emails trying to get my attention, because that's just going to delay me wanting to contact you back. So one quick short email with your phone number, I will contact you back. We'll book in an appointment and we'll get to the bottom of what's going on with you. Also, don't forget to subscribe to my channel on YouTube, Monica Spirit Queen. I have a lot of tutorial videos on it. I have a lot of investigations that we do on it. My radio show is on it. I mean, you name it, I'm constantly posting videos. So don't forget to subscribe, like, comment, and share my videos. So it could get into the right hands of those around the world that are serious about getting my help. And I will be happy to help you guys. I do also travel. And I am on all social media under Monica Spirit Queen. I do post my videos on Instagram or my work and pictures, events, schedules, anything that I do, I post it on Facebook, Instagram, my YouTube channel. If you guys know any other social media platforms that you guys have and would like to see my postings and my videos on it, please let me know. I'd be happy to look into that and possibly add that on my social media list. But anyways, thank you guys so much for joining us, listening to it. I do have a lot more shows, exciting guests, celebrities. I mean, you name it. This podcast is going to blow. It's going to explode. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and family, with the public, with your loved ones. That can help them as well. And on top of that, it's entertaining, and you guys get to learn a lot about spirituality, the paranormal, the poltergeist, a lot about my life and what I do and how I work and my experiences. I mean, you name it, it's all going to be here and on my podcast.
And every day will be something exciting. I know that because I've been with you for 17 years, and to this day, you still shock me and surprise me and awe me, so...
Aw, thank you. I like to surprise you along with the public all the time. I'm just full of surprises. Anyways, I love you guys. Be safe out there. Take care. And I will see you guys next time. Bye.